Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, week four is in the books. On to week five, this beautiful fantasy season with plenty of news, plenty of injuries, plenty of drama, just like we're used to. We got podcast number 305 here, October 2nd, 2024. TopShelfFantasy.com had our start sits out last week. Getting back this week. Hit 85% last week. Dow's hit 100, so that kind of helped a lot. So follow us. There were some tough decisions. You sat Hill. I sat Garrett Wilson. I sat Waddle. It was just guys that were like easily in your lineup. Again, these are hard start sits. These aren't the start JT, you know, right, that kind of stuff. So hit on every tight end too. I think that's a big one because the tight end landscape has been very odd, very weird. So getting those kind of right and kind of starting to, you know, just looking at matchups over just the player's name going forward, I think is huge.
Yeah, with the way this NFL season's gone, like, it's more important than ever to separate the name and what these guys were from who they are and what they've done for you lately. And you really have to see those trends, see who they're playing. You know, obviously luck is still a little bit involved, but when we go, you know, a high percentage on our flex spots and our tight ends, I think that's really indicative of, you know, a successful reading of the NFL right now, which is fantastic to see. You know, we're not always that dialed in. We like to be, but like you said, we give some hard picks. We're not giving you the NFL.com. Like, I think Justin Jefferson's going to be a good start this week. So yeah, I think everybody knows that. You know, we try to dig a little bit deeper. So to see us go 85% as a team, that's what we want. That's fantastic. That's, I mean, a really high percentage when we're talking about almost entirely fringe guys.
And I will say this is our best week, I think, in 5 years. So it's like, oh yeah, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, I would say I can't remember last time I went 100%. That's been a while.
I was doing yours and like there was like might be a few like 9.6 for a flex start. I get that's a hit. That's a top 24 running back.
Yeah.
Shit, he hit them all. I'm like, I did awesome. I'll do Dallas. He couldn't do as good as I did. Damn it.
I had the one cop out on the Travis Kelce start, but after the start to the year he gave you, I was like, this is still risky. And I mean, did he score a touchdown? No, he didn't. He didn't score one. So that's just pure production, which is nice to see.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll get right into the news. Of course, we start with injuries. The IR injuries, there is none this week. But there's plenty technicality. But we'll get into the outs and the people not practicing, which is a massive list. So I'll take the outs to start. Rashee Rice, possible ACL injury. He's getting a second opinion, so we'll see. I think they said next week, which is annoying because you can't stash him on an IR spot. You can't just cut him if he's out for the year, especially this week with waivers. I think we talked before the podcast. I don't know why they can't just toss him on the IR, get more information, because I think at the very best, he's missing them, what, like 6 to 8 weeks? Like, he's not going to play in 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's very confusing, I guess, to say the least. Pat Mahomes gave an interview today and like seemed optimistic. He said he hopes Rashee could be back soon. It's like, okay, well, are you talking about soon in the grand scheme of life and like his career, like next year? Okay, like I get that. Do you mean soon as in a few weeks from now? That's a different story. I can't imagine that's it. I mean, the guy got carted off. He looked like he was in extreme amount of pain. Everybody and their brother said ACL right off the bat. It's like best case scenario if he had like an MCL sprain or something, like a really high grade sprain, maybe he gets back in like 8 weeks. Either way, you toss him on IR. So I'm a little baffled. It sucks. Like, you can't, like you said, you can't put him on your IR slot. Definitely can't drop him until you have more clarity. And if they're not going to give us an update till next week, you're stuck with a dead roster spot for, you know, potentially a crucial week as we head into bye weeks with a lot of talent on bye this week. I think you have Philly, Detroit, a couple other teams that I can't remember. Like, you got some studs missing. So losing a roster spot in the midst of that kind of sucks.
Yeah. Before we move on, like, which Chiefs receiver would you be playing, if any?
I picked up Justin Watson, and I know I got chirped for it pretty relentlessly,
I heard you're
but
33 bucks or something.
yeah, I threw 30. It's dynasty, right? So there's not a lot of guys out
Oh,
there.
okay.
It's a deep bench. Not a lot of guys out there. I threw 33 bucks on him, and everybody's chirping. I haven't spent a penny all year. I'm like, you guys, you can't take it with you. It doesn't. To me, when I'm putting my bids in, I'm like, I might not go after. I don't even need receivers. I did it so somebody else in the league wouldn't get him and then beat me
Right.
with him. So, if I had to guess, it's him. I know I saw a lot of other people bidding on Juju, which fair enough. I mean, he's a receiver there. If by some grace of God, Xavier Worthy is sitting out there on your waiver wire, I'd definitely grab him.
Yeah, I guess
I don't think he's
it's
very good, but he's probably the most likely candidate to see an increase. And then Mecole Hardman is there, but we haven't seen him do anything worthwhile in 4 years. So, well, I guess the Super Bowl hero, but minus that. But yeah, I'm gun to my head. It's Justin Watson. I think he's already been on the field quite a bit, and an expanded role for what he can do makes
Yeah.
sense. But it'll probably in reality be like Noah Gray and just see more tight two tight end sets.
Yeah, I think which makes sense too. Again, it's been there for like 3+ years. But I mean, you talk about Juju. Rice went out early last week. Juju had 0 fantasy points, I think one target. So it's like you'd think the production would start coming then. It's not
Right.
like you had to change an entire playbook because Rice got hurt, so you can't change it till week 5. That's not Casey. They
Right.
have that. So just on that, I'm like, I can't pick a guy up and start him. Moving on. TJ Hawkinson is limited. He is practice window is open. He's off pup. I think he's off pup technically. Where
Yeah, I think he's
it,
off pup, or
they had to take
either
him off,
way,
right?
it opens the 21-day return window for him.
Yeah. So he could return week 7, which is great. Even better for Sam Darnold, who's been crushing it. Good for the tight end landscape that we have now to get someone back like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you, the only interesting wrinkle to this is like, what does TJ Hawkinson do to that offense when he gets back? I mean, he certainly doesn't hurt it in any regard from an NFL standpoint, at least. But what does he do to the targets that have been pretty dominantly going to JJ and Jordan Addison even last week? I don't think, I don't think it's a huge thing to be concerned about. Just be interesting to see. The other tricky part is that the Vikings have a week 6 bye, so. Even if Hawkinson was magically ready next week, it's like the earliest he's going to be on a field is
Oh,
week 7
so
because of the bye week.
that's why I'm like, all right, that's kind of weird. It's like, why not see what it looks like for week 6?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Last bit of news for the out guys: Brandon Cooks with an infection, I think in his knee or somewhere in his leg. He's out, and he could be out much longer, possibly the entire year. That's not
Yeah,
good to see for
no.
a team that needs a wide receiver too desperately. Not that he's been doing much as it is, but you think of that like that, Dak does want on the field.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking to see like what's supposed to be a basic kind of simple procedure to have whatever cleaned up in his knee. I think it's just supposed to be like a quick like arthroscopic scope or something like that, and then all of a sudden he's got an infection, which can happen to anybody at any time. But apparently it's bad enough that there are already rumors floating around that it could be a season long thing, and that sucks. He like you said, he hasn't done a ton on the fantasy stat sheet, but he's been good NFL wise. I mean, he's pulled a couple PIs like he always does, and he's been open. Dak's actually just missed him a few times, so he could be looking at a much better season than he's currently put up. So hopefully he's back quickly.
All right, you want to start with the questionable dudes?
Yeah, questionable guys. A lot of people not practicing this week so far. Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce still not practicing. It leaves the door wide open for Cam Akers, but Cam Akers just failed to capitalize. So that's one to continue to monitor. Mixon seems like he keeps trending up through like each week, and then because Sunday comes and goes, and he doesn't step foot on the field. So just keep looking at him every day. I think he's dealing with a high ankle, so it makes sense. He's probably a lot of pain management and just effectiveness in pregame workout. Jonathan Taylor picked up a high ankle sprain this past week. Again, open up the door for Trey Sermon. He has not practiced this week. The good news for him is that he's avoided IR. The Colts are not considering him an option for injured reserve, which is great for his return timetable, but terrible for Jonathan Taylor owners in the short term. Brian Robinson is not practicing. He picked up a knee injury. Simultaneously, Austin Eckler is still in the concussion protocol and was limited at practice. I did see that there was some optimism surrounding Eckler. He's been in the protocol for a while, so I think the expectation is that he clears it. But Eckler's a guy that's had concussions in the past, so I'm sure they'll kind of treat him very cautiously given the landscape of the NFL's concussion. I don't know, concussion situation, let's call it. Cordarrelle Patterson has an ankle injury, and Jalen Warren is still nursing that knee injury that held him out last week. Patterson looked super effective, so this is kind of a bummer, unless you're a Najee Harris owner, in which case you're thrilled because he was actively cutting into Najee's work, which is kind of
Big
nuts for
time.
how uninvolved Jalen Warren has been this year.
Eight yards per carry. It's like, and it was each run. I'm like, Christ, every run's a first down. What's going on?
Yeah. And then he grew out his dreads to be almost the same exact length as Najee Harris. And I can't tell who's who because it's just a huge guy running with dreads flying behind him. I'm like, oh, great. Najee's back in. Big gain. And then like, Cordarrelle Patterson with another 8-yard gain. Like, of course, Najee comes in 2 yards, runs into an offensive lineman. So, yeah, continue to monitor this, see if either of them can get back. I'm sure the Steelers would love to have him. Christian Watson also picked up a high ankle sprain, which is, I'm going to call it a good thing for him. Because that injury looked bad on the field. I thought he tore his knee to bits. So if he escaped with just a high ankle, sucks. He'll be out for a while. He's just an injury-prone guy. This is what you've grown to expect with Christian Watson when you drafted him. Big opportunity for Dontavian Wicks if you were able to pick him up on your waivers this past week because he came in and saw, I think, 13 targets.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah. So obviously a favorite target of Jordan Love. So he'll be out there, hopefully doing well. Devin Singletary did not practice. I consider that probably more, veteran management than anything else. It didn't seem like he picked up an injury in the game this past week. So continue to monitor that as we get closer. A guy who did pick up a very noticeable injury in the same game, Malik Nabers, still in concussion protocol. He's going to be a tricky one. He obviously needs to be at full capacity in order to function as at the level he's been functioning at. And if you drafted him, you're probably riding him pretty hard for your fantasy squads right now. So hopefully he's able to clear protocol, get on the field. Daniel Jones desperately needs his kind of talent and a catch radius that essentially covers the entire field with his inability to throw the ball. So Malik Nabers, here's wishing you a quick and speedy clearance of the protocol. Anthony Richardson is listed as day to day, but he's still not practicing. I guess they officially came out and told him he has, or told us he has an oblique and abdominal injury. I know we all thought it was hip, but I guess all that stuff's kind of interconnected, so maybe it's one thing begets the other. Either way, I wouldn't expect him to play this week. The team actually looked better under Joe Flacco anyways. I think they might want to get him to full health, give him the week off and let Flacco take the start, but definitely monitor that as we move forward. And if you haven't picked up Joe Flacco and you're an Anthony Richardson owner, you need to do that immediately. I mean, Flacco could easily go out and dominate and be the quarterback for the rest of the year, and they might decide to sit and wait on Richardson for a bit. Will
Yeah,
Levis. Oh, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
back to Richardson. I don't know if you're watching it live, but I was in play. He got hurt, was a run again, like one of those runs where he goes down almost like hitting the defender, but just slide or tuck. Like you got to learn how to get hit. Out for the draw, the play, Flacco comes in. Next play, he's back, and the team designs a quarterback run. And on the 5-yard line. After coming in with that injury that he's looping back in, like it's first and goal on the 5. You have Jonathan Taylor. What are you guys doing? Like that's just
Right.
the horrific OC play call right there. Like that is not on Richardson. Like that's legit a play that OC is like, okay, go in and run the ball. Gets hit in the same spot, out for the game. Like you can't be that stupid.
Yeah, I actually read a Colts fan's theory saying that he thinks the coaching staff was just looking for the easy way out. And they said, if Anthony Richardson gets hurt, we get to play Flacco. And we don't have to
That's
have the controversy.
even more messed up.
Yeah, and
That's even
they
more
get to
messed
avoid
up.
the controversy of a quarterback benching. So if that's the case, I mean, then he shouldn't play another snap for the team. I think that might be more conspiracy theory than anything, but in any case, Joe Flacco came in and immediately you saw guys like Pittman
Downs
and Josh Downs,
crushed it.
very involved in the offense. So
And the
if
run
you
game looked good until JT got
yeah.
hurt. Like, So.
Yeah, very tough if you're an Anthony Richardson owner to even support him remaining as the starter, which sucks because he's fun to watch when he's healthy. Will Levis also picked up an injury. He dove for a first down, landed on his shoulder awkwardly. I'm not sure if we've gotten any more reports on what actually happened, but he was immediately removed from the game, and Mason Rudolph came in and honestly looked pretty serviceable. So, not sure what the future holds, but Will Levis is not practicing as of Wednesday this week. So I continue to take a look at that. Even if he's, I think if he's healthy, he's on the field. I don't think they're going to roll with Mason Rudolph if they have Will Levis healthy. However, I don't know how long that's going to remain the case because Will Levis did not look particularly good in that Miami game. Nobody looked good in that Miami game, let's be fair, but
Yeah,
Mason
it's
Rudolph looked the least
disgusting.
bad out of every quarterback on the field.
Yeah, at least the run game worked with Rudolph under center. Like both Spears
Right.
and Pollard had great games.
Exactly. And then the final not practicing of the week, Jeff Wilson, who picked up an injury in pregame warmups during the Miami Tennessee game. He's not practicing. I'm not sure what his actual knee injury is, but he seems to be out at least for this week, and continuing to not practice. So he's an interesting one as well. And Raheem Mostert actually didn't get activated. We expected to see him activated for that game on Monday, and he didn't make it. So we got to continue to monitor that entire backfield because as of now, it's just Achane.
Yeah, I think Mostert was limited, but I just take that with a grain of salt. He's been limited since
Yeah,
week two,
exactly.
and it
He's
comes out
continued
on
to be limited and not
Saturday
playing.
that he's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, he's out." So at this point, like, I don't even care. Not like
Right.
any RB there is doing anything without Tua there. So
Yeah, Jalen Wright
it's so tough.
looked the most effective.
Yeah, you did. All right, guys, trending in the right direction. Great news, Nick Chubb. 21-day window open back up. He's back at practice. I'm sure he's limited, but God, if this guy comes back, this is great for fantasy, great for football. Goes back to a Browns team that desperately needs a spark. And Nick Chubb is that kind of guy. So hoping I'm not sure he plays this week. I think people are expecting him to. I see him in a lot of starting lineups. But I don't know if I'm the Browns, I rush him. Back the first week of practice.
No, somebody said he was fifth in line for touches this week or this or today at practice. So I think they're handling him, a slow but steady recovery. Their bye week is until week 10, so I'd expect him back before that, but hopefully eased in. Like I even week one when he's active, if you're a Jerome Ford owner, I probably still play Jerome Ford.
Yeah, you play him till you can't as dumb as that sounds, but I mean that's kind of the
Really burns you, and then you're like, all right, no more.
truth. Yeah. You got me a few games, but Kendrick Bourne, 21-day window back, back at practice off the pup, to a team that desperately needs some wide receivers. Not that I'm blaming the wide receivers there by any means. I do think they're decent players. But without the line and the quarterback, I don't know if Kendrick Bourne's a guy I'm running out to get. Unfortunately,
Yeah, I
I'm
agree.
sure I will in a few leagues just because, like, if it's deeper to bench, I'll do it, but I don't
Yeah, he's
know.
nearly impossible to play. Well, so are all Patriot wide receivers. So,
Yeah, it sucks. OBJ logs a full practice. Kind of a guy I think most of us just forgot about. I know he missed the 4 weeks. Definitely, I'm not playing. I mean, we're not playing really any Dolphins players as it is. So I don't think OBJ is a guy who's going to come in and play. And even before the season started, he just said he's not having fun anymore. That could be because the Diddy stuff was coming out and he's part of it. So that could be why. So that's also a factor. David Njoku was limited Wednesday. Again, another Browns player that they need back desperately. This would cut into the small fantasy relevance that Jerry Jeudy has might just go away. Njoku probably gets back in there and is at least the number two target behind Cooper. Tank Dell missed last week with the chest. He's limited, so we'll see about that. Trey McBride concussion returns to practice. Sounds like he will pass the concussion protocol. They're not worried about it, so good to get him back. Watching the game last week, they do need him desperately.
Yeah, if you picked up Elijah Higgins thinking that he was going to be your saving grace, you were like, all
Me.
right, that's who Elijah Higgins has always been. So
Yeah, especially like tight end positions, like even when Kelce was banged up before, Like, yeah, I'm picking up Noah Gray. It's like, yeah, but like it's not like the system changes. Like it's not
Right.
like, oh, you don't run a system through a tight end. Oh, Trey Sermon comes in for the Colts. Yeah, it probably can get 10 to 15 touches because that's the game plan. A tight end's never the main player, so handcuffs for tight ends are kind of weird. I mean, even Isaiah Likely is doing nothing now anyway, so
Yeah, it's tough to pick the outlier week where they're actually going to pop, and it's just, yeah, like you said, handcuffs or tight ends are just not really a thing.
don't do it.
So we'll head on into some news now. Christian McCaffrey announced that he has tendonitis in both Achilles's now. I think the timing of this is a little weird. You know, he was mentioned to be over in Germany getting a stem cell treatment on one Achilles, and then I'm assuming he's back, and all of a sudden we have the news coming out that he's got tendonitis in both now. So, you know, I'm just a little perplexed. I don't trust the Niners on their injury report at all. I never have, never will. The Niners are a little shady when it comes to that kind of stuff, as we noticed with the Jordan Mason flub from earlier this year. But if you take it at face value, it's bad news. Obviously, it's another injury in the long line of injuries for CMC. If you choose to ignore it, do so at your own peril. But as for now, Jordan Mason, it's just a must play every single week.
Agreed. It sucks for the CMC owners, especially because week one on Monday, oh, he's inactive. But they knew about it. Same thing with like Elijah Mitchell, season-ending IR. It's like, oh, well, you knew about that. Like, what the hell?
And you've gotten zero production out of your potentially 101, at worst 102, pick for the season. So tough, very tough L for CMC owners, of which I am one. So not fun. But what are you gonna do? Justin Fields is remaining the starter in Pittsburgh. I mean, he had a great game last week. You know, battling back from being down, put up a good fantasy stat line, had a good game in real life. So makes sense. Ride the hot hand.
Yeah, I mean he will get to the week four top performers, so he'll be part of that.
Yeah, and I know they keep mentioning
Is
Russell Wilson is ramping his activity up. It's like,
I wonder if that's
it's,
just bullshit.
I,
I think
yeah, and like,
it is right now. It's guys, it's week five. Like he was ramping up
right.
in week one. Like he's fine,
It
but
would make like,
he's the emergency QB each week. Like so, he's able to play. Like
yeah,
that's the
and
thing.
he's dressed on the sidelines like a maniac since week one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just odd. Like, I know somebody's like, oh, well, they're probably trying to trade him. It's like, well, you don't trade a guy who's potentially the best backup in the league.
Also, a
I
guy
don't
that hasn't played a snap and looked horrible the last 2 years. I get
Right.
he's
Like,
free, like
yeah.
he's
Like,
pretty much free, but
yeah, you don't lose your backup
yeah,
quarterback
I
for a
mean,
seventh round pick.
but it's true. It's like why not the Dolphins? Like I don't
Yeah.
know,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, teams probably made calls on him, but again, the Steelers are
Titans
like,
too, like.
they're not in any huge rush to help out another team with their quarterback situation, especially in the same conference or whatever, you know, any
Yeah,
number of reasons.
they're 3-1. You trade them to Miami, who gets a few more wins, and then that's kind of sucks for you.
Yeah, exactly. Or you look at your own schedule and
If
you're like, I don't
they're,
want to play him on a revenge game, you know, 3 weeks from
yeah.
now. Who knows my system?
Yep. Yeah. Moving on. Antonio Gibson could start over Stevenson, I think, week five. Now, I wouldn't say going forward. Stevenson has lost a fumble in every single game so far. It's not just putting the ball on the ground, it's putting the ball on the ground and turning it over. For a team that cannot turn the ball over whatsoever, because once they do, they already lose. You fumble it once, you're screwed. So Stevenson's looked good too, especially the first 2 weeks. Week three is bad. But you can't put the ball on the ground. I don't care what. I mean, luckily it's not Bill Belichick there, or else he's probably not on the team anymore, to be honest. Like, he's probably
Yeah.
cut.
Fastest way out of the league is to start fumbling. I mean, we've seen it with legends like Tiki Barber. Like, just once you get a case of the dropsies, you can't hold on to anything. So hopefully,
LeSean
Steven.
McCoy, too, towards his
Yeah.
NFL career.
Yep.
Melvin
So
Gordon.
it's seriously all of them. So hopefully, he can figure it out, because one or two more of these, and we might not see him again. I know Gerard Mayo said he'll take it under consideration or whatever. He's it's under, you know, it's a possibility.
It's at least
Maybe
a
he,
50-50 instead of like a 60-40 or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah, and
And
I mean
Gibson's looked
Antonio
good
Gibson, yeah, I
too.
was just gonna say he's looked pretty solid when he's touched the ball. He's just not a bell cow. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson's a guy who could take 35 touches if the Patriots are ever in a situation to give a running back 35 touches. Gibson can't handle that. But no reason you can't go 50-50 on these guys.
To Michael Hasty, get him in there, man.
Dude, the GOAT.
I think he had a snap or two last week.
He did. He did. I thought it was Ramondre. Again, if you have dreads and you wear a dark visor, I don't know who you are. Like Tyler Huntley is somehow going to get the start again for the Dolphins in week five. I was told by Mahoney that he can run an NFL offense, and I'm still waiting to see that. He
Well,
looked absolutely terrible.
he scored on the
Yeah.
one
And he scored 9 points for your fantasy team.
because
Something
of
like
that.
that. It was just absolutely abjectly awful game.
The
Both
hype
sides of
for
the ball, really.
Huntley was just absurd, and it happens every year, even him in Baltimore. And I've
Yeah.
been, part of that problem too, where mobile quarterback and that kind of system, just the running ability, but like, God, he sucks.
Well, and you saw it, and they even mentioned it on the broadcast quite a bit. It's like this Miami offense is complicated. There is motion on every snap. Everything relies on perfect timing, and Huntley does not have it.
He
He's 2 weeks into the system.
just got that. Like
Right.
where I'm like, I guess Skylar Thompson wasn't great, but he's been there. Like he knows the
Right. Like beyond my assertion that Tyler Huntley's not good at football, 2 weeks is not enough time to learn that Miami offense. It was stupid to put him out there in the first place. And then McDaniel stands on the sideline rolling his eyes as if he had some sort of other expectation of this. Like, I blame him as much as anybody. You're the one who said this guy's capable of running this offense, and you didn't simplify it for him at all. So,
it's kind of annoying because like they cut Mike White instead of
right.
Skylar Thompson last year. And like Mike White's a fine backup and he's played in that system. Like I don't know. I feel like that's a good option there, but
And you
toot
saw
the
just
zone.
a lot of unforced penalties too, which weren't even Tyler Huntley's fault. Tyreek Hill in motion at the snap numerous times, and then he's on the sideline throwing a hissy fit. It's like, I didn't make you move simultaneously someone else and then not get set. So, I know I digress, but what this means for fantasy is that everybody in Miami is a tough start again this coming week. I would not start Tyreek Hill. I would not start Jalen Waddle. I would not start Jonnu Smith, if you are anyways, that's stupid. I may start Achane if he's the only running back active and just hope that he scores on a freak play because he has that lightning in a bottle feature where he can just take one to the house from 70 out, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's tough. Last bit of news. Can I talk a little longer about this? Davante Adams demands a trade. This comes after the coach liking an Instagram post about Davante Adams leaving, and also his comment, last week, player or 2 weeks ago, players or what was it?
Making business
His
decisions out there.
decisions, and we'll do the same thing on our end. Davante Adams is a massive diva. He's a really annoying person, great player of the football, but such a distraction, such a headache. Like, if I'm any quarterback playing with him, I'm scared shitless. Because if you make one mistake, it's just, I could lose my job forever. Where it's like, he could leave. And we saw it happened last year with the Raiders. They get rid of the head coach, new head coach comes in. You see it a lot. Get rid of this massive headache. Let Tucker, let Myers, let Bowers start doing it because they're losing targets because they're just force feeding Davante Adams. Like maybe Minshew's a little more relieved, get back into that mindset of like screw it, playing backyard football, which is what he does best. So I hope he's traded. If he's not, he's not playing it down there again. So
Yeah,
there's
he's
re
already.
rarely they say, hey, we're not getting any offers for him. I'd rather just say screw this guy. I don't want a fourth round pick for the guy. Like I'm not going to give him Davante Adams up for free. Let him rot in his age, what, 31, 32 career, and then good luck getting a job.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're the Raiders, you can choose to send him to
Anywhere.
some shithole without a quarterback.
New England, New England.
Yeah,
They got the cap.
enjoy
They got
New
the cap
England. You know,
space.
yep, enjoy Cleveland, someplace like that where he still might not even be the top dog on the team. Just real interesting though. Like you said, he might not play another snap for the Raiders. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. He needs, I really truly think he needs to be with a guy like Aaron Rodgers who has the pedigree to check him. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Jets are one of the favorite teams being rumored to be interested, first of all, because of the connection between Rodgers and Adams. But on top of that, the team going, well, we don't even necessarily need Robert Saleh to manage Davante Adams because we have Aaron Rodgers to manage Davante Adams. And maybe that's something that he hasn't had since they parted ways. You know, he had the Jimmy Garoppolo's, the Aiden O'Connell's, where he definitely ran roughshod over them. Even Derek Carr, you know, his buddy from college. Well, Davante Adams had a much more impressive pro career than Derek Carr. So, you know, if he kind of runs that alpha kind of combination with a diva role, I'm sure that doesn't sit well with anybody. And just watching that Netflix show, like, he seems like a real piece of work.
Yeah, like you can't complain, like, I'm not getting targets. I'm getting too many targets. I'm getting hit. I'm like, I want to win. I don't care about winning. I want money. It's like, make up your freaking mind. Like, no one knows what you want. This is why everyone walks on eggshells every week because they're just scared that you're going to do something. And
Right.
now,
You, I
look
mean,
at it.
you juxtapose that to the interviews that we saw during the draft process that came out with Marvin Harrison Jr., who's supposed to be, you know, the young buck kind of unpolished rookie. And he's given the most perfect veteran interview you ever heard, where he says, oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't ever complain to my quarterback. It's like, I can go get that ball. And the, you know, coaches and GMs are trying to bait him into, you know, kind of like a visceral response, and he wouldn't take the bait. And then instead, you got 32-year-old Davante Adams sitting over here going like, yeah, my quarterback fucking sucks. I wouldn't even try for that ball. Like, yeah, whoop the script. Maybe he needs to take a lesson from some of these other guys. Like, I mean, like you mentioned, Gardner Minshew is probably on eggshells around him. He'd rather play with Trey Tucker and Jacoby Myers and a bunch of guys who weren't drafted high, aren't, you know, super elite
Demanding
prospects, but they just,
10
you
plus
know,
targets a game, like just have fun.
yeah, they're just lunch pail. You know, show up, work hard, put your head down, and make it happen as a team kind of mentality. And honestly, that's what you've seen work in the NFL for a long time. That the Chiefs really might, once Tyreek Hill left town, didn't have that big name guy other than, you know, Travis Kelce, obviously. But even for what it's worth, Kelce's been a show up to work and work hard and be pretty quiet up until the last couple of years with the whole Taylor Swift nonsense, which somewhat outside of his control. So, yeah, I mean, you see it work in the NFL. The Patriots obviously did it for 100 years with the, you know, guys like Deion Branch showing up and working their asses off and having a lot of success. So it can be done. You don't need the big stud diva making a scene in the wide receiver room every week. If he ends up somewhere else, best of luck to you. I don't know. I know Mike Williams is a big pickup this week for a lot of people who, you know, are seeing his activity and his targets ramp up, and he had a big catch this week as well. And it seems like he's getting on the right page with Aaron Rodgers. It would almost be unfortunate to see Davante Adams end up in New York because you're going to lose a guy like that. And I don't know how he's going to mesh with a guy like Garrett Wilson, who is also a big personality.
Yeah, and I can't stand that. I want to go to a contender. Yeah, so does everyone else in the NFL. What makes you, how gives you the right to be like, I want to play for this? It's like,
Yeah, I want
yeah,
to go to a contender. How about work harder and make your current
so
team a
do I.
contender?
Yeah,
Be
like,
better. Like, I don't
yeah, I
know.
mean, the way I'll leave this is the NFL doesn't need you anymore. They don't. If you're out, it's nothing changes.
We have a
Move on.
surplus of extremely talented wide
Yeah, get the
receivers in
hell
the
out of
NFL at this
here.
point. You know, we can ship you off to anywhere, and next year we can sign whoever doesn't stick around in Houston, you know, and we've instantly replaced you.
Exactly. All right. Go on a long time for that. But in brighter news, week four top shelf performances, quarterback position. Got two guys here. Justin Fields, we talked about that earlier. Big game, 32 points. Jordan Love, very slow start. Massive second half, 31.2 points.
It
After
went from
Christian
like,
Watson, it went like almost like negative. I'm like, dude, this guy's
yeah.
he just came back his first week off of injury. Shouldn't be playing. Then second half, it's like, oh, there he is. There's that offense we've been looking for since week one.
And it was really like I almost wanted to call it garbage time in the third quarter when they were down big. It was like 28-0 going into the third quarter. And then garbage time became a really tight game, and it was actually a great finish. So, good for him. I mean, good to battle back. If you got Jordan Love shares, so you probably didn't play him. At least I didn't. I was like, it's too risky. The Vikings have been good. I was gonna.
Yes,
I looked like
in
a
our league we
genius through
played.
halftime.
Yeah, I mean, I think of in our league we have together, the Top Shelf league we played. I think Kyle, not skipping that league, but it's like Kyler over to Love. I think in Vampire League,
Yeah.
massive difference there. Holy
Right.
crap! Like,
Exactly.
and we'll get to the bottom feeders too. You take the next guys.
Yeah, the running backs, we get a couple on the list here. Derrick Henry, obviously we all watched him in prime time open up with an 87-yard carry right off the rip and take it to the house. 87, yeah, 87 yards. And I mean, from there, it was really just whatever he wanted, he got all day long. So, really good to see. You kind of saw that offense function the way that we hoped it would with Lamar, Derrick Henry, and Justice Hill all kind of doing a lot of interesting things on offense. They kept showing the replays of how they would move the defense around and kind of get them to do whatever they wanted. It was real fun to watch. That's if you're a fan of running football, that was a great game to just rewatch on repeat for a while. And then flip side, Ken Walker comes out of nowhere with a 3-touchdown performance and completely blows the doors off in Detroit. Couldn't pull out the win, unfortunately. However, Ken Walker looks real damn good, and he was coming off an injury too. I was a little hesitant to play him in a couple formats. I'm glad I did. But the other notable thing, I guess, is Charbonnet was still involved, but he was
A
very
little bit.
firmly in the back seat to Ken Walker. There was one drive after Ken scored his second touchdown that was
It was,
100% Charbonnet, and I was like, oh nice, maybe I won't lose this week.
and he was fine in that drive too. Like,
Yeah,
but
he looked good.
that's a 80-20 split right there. But I mean, that offense just runs really one back, and when Kent Walker was out, Charbonnet was a gold mine.
Yeah.
But
Yep. It's almost like drive by drive. It could be either guy. They just tend to lean on Ken when his hand was hot, I guess. But either way, good problem to have two running backs in Seattle. But this week, Ken Walker had an absolute monster performance. And I mean, that play where he got tackled and then flipped over and then stayed
flipped,
up, it's
yeah.
like I could watch that a million times. It's like not only is it hyper athletic and just impressive from that regard, the awareness to do it and keep playing. I think you even said it's play to the whistle mentality, and he didn't hear when he
Yeah,
kept running.
which
I love it.
a lot of people don't do. And even like that takes a lot of energy. I get it wasn't like that many yards more, but like the amount of energy and force in that play, then he's right back for the next play. Like usually at that point, it's like, all right, take a breather, bye.
Yeah, exactly.
But what a fun game to watch. Like that's one of the first primetime games of the season where just back and forth, like a lot of yards, a lot of scoring. Like that's what we want. It was a great game to watch.
Yeah, line on it was 46.5, 47.5, something like
Was like
that, and
70 or
he
something.
dropped 70 points. It
Yeah.
was like, all right, see you, line, real early on.
Yeah. Under is prime time. Not in that one. Wide receiver, we only have one because it's one just by far away from everyone. Nico Collins, 27.1 points. I think it could have been like 43. I think he was missed in a touchdown by Stroud during the
Yeah.
game too. So, yeah, one of the top shelves. Bust of the year, looking like the best wide receiver in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's, you had to pick somebody who's going to be the odd man out, and it ain't Nico so far.
It wasn't even odd man out. I thought it was like complete split. Like, how do you rank three receivers as the top 20 ranked wide receivers
Yeah.
and not be spread out? But, yeah, you're seeing with Nico, but even Diggs is having a top 10 year. Dell's definitely been the odd man out, unfortunately, but Nico continued to ride him. I know a lot of people sold him in the offseason, sold him high. He's much higher now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. If you have them now, you're probably not selling them because you're probably in first place in your league.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. And then the tight ends to wrap it up. Taysom Hill puts up 14.4 points, closely followed by Tucker Kraft at 14.3, and Pat Freiermuth right behind them, both at 14.1. Good to see Freiermuth actually get on the board here. He's kind of had a slow start to the season, but 14.1 points is exactly what you hope for. Justin Fields is able to find him And I believe he scored a touchdown this week. So that's good to see his usage down in the red zone as well. And then to go back to Taysom Hill with the 14.4, unfortunately, he picked up an injury, so, and he's not practicing this week. So he may be
But
out.
it's also a guy like all three of these guys. Maybe Pat, you started. I
Yep.
started him in two leagues, kind of had to, but
Yeah. He's
these guys are
unfortunately
probably
my
on
only
your,
tight end in
yeah.
one league.
Hill and Kraft, you weren't starting. And
No.
Hill does this, and oh, next week I'll start him. Then he gets zero. So it's like the Hill thing is just so annoying. So
Yeah.
annoying. And
Him
it will
being
never
hurt
go
is
away.
actually like a saving grace for your
Cool.
fantasy team.
I don't have to just destroy 3 days of my life overthinking Taysom
Exactly.
Hill or Kelsey. Hill or Kelsey. Hill or Kelsey. It's
Freiermuth,
Kelsey.
however, is a guy that I would start going forward. I think he can continue to build on this. You've also seen Darnell Washington involved in some of these plays, so there is more to go around. So if Freiermuth can separate himself as the better receiving target of the two, which he is, he could have even more production going forward. So
And even his like bad games, like 5 points, it's like, all right, it's not terrible. I mean, it's better than
right.
the zeros that Mark Andrews are getting you. So,
Facts.
and a few guys honorable mention: Baker 28.9, DeAndre Swift swing and a miss by me 26 points, Jaden Reed 23.6, and Dontavian Wicks 22.3. The Packer wide receiver duo there looking great.
Great to see.
Start us out with the quarterback.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson, who did get hurt in his defense but did not look good before getting hurt, only puts up 5.2 points. If you started him, which I did in a couple leagues, you're pissed. Also, right behind him, Kyler. Again, I think that's back-to-back weeks for Kyler. With I don't think he was on our top pieces of shit list last week, but he has been lackluster the last couple of weeks. And unfortunately for Kyler, he was off to a hot start. First drive, fantastic. Finds the end zone. Marvin Harrison Jr. You're like, these guys are off to a great
I thought
start.
they were going
Started
to
big
hit.
game.
I said
Didn't work out.
41 to 30 or something like that.
Yep. So did I. I
Yeah.
thought it was going to be a huge game and just did not play out that way at all. Between these two guys, I think Kyler has the much better opportunity to bounce back this week. And well, I mean, if Anthony Richardson even plays, let's even call it on the season. Kyler will finish all right. Anthony Richardson, I I'm very worried about. I may have jinxed his career by betting him as the MVP.
Oh, yeah. And there were a few guys below Kyler, like I think Cousins was below him, Derek Carr too, but Kyler is one of those like he's in your lineup each week, and
Right.
that killed you. The running backs, not a huge guy to start, but probably started in a lot of leagues because. But Carson Steele, -0.9 points, fumbled. I'm sure you saw the field after that at all. It was Kareem Hunt day, and then massive concern, Breece Hall, 2.8. You're seeing him lose a lot of goal line work to Braylon Allen. It's absurd in my mind, especially against his Denver team. I know Denver defense is good, but like, come on. Like, you can't get that going. I mean, the entire team sucked in general, but with him almost, it's not a split, but Braylon Allen's out there way too much.
He's out there a ton, and I mean, neither one of them really got it going. So I kind of get it. But the game was so disjointed and low scoring, a field goal fest, like just very, very strange that you wouldn't have seen the Jets lean on Breece Hall a lot more. Like Denver's defense is good, but they're strength is their pass defense. Their run defense is what's lackluster. You know, they played Seattle, Pittsburgh, Tampa this year, and in all of those games, they allowed a significant amount of yards to the running back. So I don't know if this is just an anomaly where they put it all together for once or what, but it's problematic. The line for Breece Hall was like 59 and a half yards, and he didn't even come close.
I think and everyone was like, that's too low. Bet the over, bet the
Right.
over.
I
And
hit it in that room, my
that was a
parlay.
big over bet.
Yep. Cost me $1,800, man.
It.
Really, it cost me like, you know, 25, but you know what I mean.
But it could have won
You
anyway.
could have pretty much had it. Wide receiver piece of shit of the week. Rashee Rice gets on here because he got lit up by Pat
See,
Mahomes' dirty
that's
tackle.
unfair,
But
but.
he's still on here with 0 points, unfortunately. Sorry, Rashee. Why don't you go drive your car drunk about it? Zay Flowers, 1.5 points. He's a weird one. Have not seen him on this list a ton this year, but he hasn't had the start to the year that we had all hoped to see. And then Calvin Ridley, 2 points. That Tennessee team is questionable to say the least. A lot of quarterback
And
questions going on over there.
even D Hop done a good game. Zay Flowers, I mean, they were up big, up early. We saw the Derrick Henry game.
Yeah.
It made sense, but 1.5, you think like there's a little more work there, but I mean,
The
Justice
problem is
Hill
you're seeing Justin
is,
Hill, but you're also seeing Rashad Bateman and Nelson Aguilar involved in the passing game.
yeah. I mean, Zay Flowers is more of that bigger play guy. Like, if
Yeah.
you're up, you don't need those plays really. You need those kind of just safe burn the clock plays. And I don't know. I don't worry about that at all. Honestly, I think
No.
that's an outlier. You're gonna see it with him. You saw it last year. He'll bounce back for like a 20-point game. So, tight ends. We had 1-0 last week. This week we have 2-0s. Kyle Pitts and Mark Andrews. Kyle Pitts saw 3 targets. Mark Andrews saw one. This is getting completely out of hand. It's
Yeah, two
and I
guys that
started
you drafted
Pitts.
high.
I started Pitts, and
So
it's one of those like I would have lost anyways. But
did
if I had
I.
like 5 to 6 points in the league median league, I get one win instead of 0-2. I go 1-1, and that's huge.
Right. I started him in tight end premium league, and I believe I did at least. I think I have him in a league. And I won by 6 points, but getting a straight up zero out of a tight end when the catches are worth 2 points is nonsense. So going forward, Pat Freiermuth is my starting tight end in tight end premium.
I have Pitts and Freiermuth, and that's I'm doing that too. I mean, you can't start Pitts. You just
No,
can't do it.
you can't do it. And like you
And
said, Kirk Cousins
we
is not
cannot pick
even
him for a sit this week. It's too easy,
right,
okay?
too easy. Yeah, if you want to pick him as a start, by all means. But
Yeah, I'm not doing
No, it's like Kirk Cousins, like you said, we didn't even put him on our list of bottom feeding quarterbacks because we're not surprised by his 8 to 10 point production. It's so if you were not surprised by Kirk Cousins' lack of production, then we can't be surprised by Kyle Pitts' lack of production or Drake London or anybody else for that matter. So it's very concerning that
offense
a
is
guy that
weird.
was it's very, very
It's just
weird.
because, like, some weeks they're like, oh, wow, they're the top three team.
Right.
Other weeks is like, what the hell's going on? I
Right.
don't know. I just can't get track of it.
No.
But
And
that's the NFL.
it's just easier not to keep track of it. Kyle Pitts, no longer startable. And Mark Andrews, no longer startable. One target, 0 points, 2 weeks in a row, 0 points.
Think he's just like, and everyone's like, oh, he'll ramp up. He'll ramp up. I think he's losing snap percentages every week. I think week 1 and 2 is close to like 50. And that was like 30s, if I believe.
I mean, it's not good at all. I know people are saying he had that tightrope surgery that Jonathan Taylor had to repair a high ankle sprain type of injury, and sometimes it takes 10 to 11 weeks to really like feel better. If that's the case, go on IR. I said it 2 weeks ago. I said it last week again. I'm going to say it now. Put him on IR. There's no reason for him to be out there. He's not Shaquille O'Neal playing into shape in training camp. He's playing real NFL football against Goliath linemen and linebackers running into him at full speed. It's not what you need to get into game shape as a professional NFL football player.
Snap percentages. Week 1, 74. Week 2, 63. Week 3, 33. Week 4, 46.
46. That's not good.
Usually that goes up.
Yeah.
It doesn't go down in a small bump. But like,
Yeah. Isaiah
that's
Likely
serious
was
shit.
tired, so he got two more snaps and boosted his percentage.
Also, guy, I was going to put on this list, Isaiah
Yeah.
Likely again. This, if two tight ends can't combine for 5 points, none of these guys should be playable. Maybe not even rosterable, but we'll get to that in our next segment, which is
Yeah.
now whole fold.
Got no one to hold them. No one to fold them.
You gotta know. First one, Zamir White.
I think I've been the one holdout on him, so let me just tell you, he's a fold, and I've cut him in two leagues.
Yeah, he's a fold. Has he been on this list before? Was he
Yeah,
in
I've been
last week?
defending him for a while. I'm done doing it. And again, I'll say it, if you watch the tape, he has some runs that look good. And every single one of those runs that looks good, it gets called back for holding. So if the offensive line is not holding for him, he doesn't look good. He had a touchdown called back last week, holding. You watch the replay, you go, well, it's holding. It got called back. Yeah, that's great. If you look at the play, without the hold, he was going to get smoked by a guy that he shouldn't be, not have been anywhere in the same zip code as. So Zamir White is a fold. He doesn't get the goal line work with Alexander Mattison there anymore. It's just until he puts together two or three good straight weeks, he should just remain on your waiver wire. He's not worth a roster spot at this point.
Yep, agreed. Kyle Pitts.
In a redraft league, I think you have to fold him. His production's
Yeah.
not there, and the upside doesn't look like it's going to be there with, you know, three targets a game. It's just that's not enough. It's not enough volume.
Yeah, and you can't wait for that big breakout game.
Right.
It will come. Mean, 10 points, if you call that a breakout. But you can't start him when he's getting you 0 to 3 points a week. Like, that's losing you games, losing me probably three games total in one league for me just being stubborn. And but it's the first few weeks. Like, you gotta play it out, see how it looks. After week four, it really shows, like, you can't do this. At that point, you might as well just pick up Freiermuth or Hunter Henry or the Comets and just play the matchup, and that's it.
Exactly. Like, and he's an afterthought in the red zone as well. I mean, you've got Drake London, who really commands the passing stuff with an odd amount of involvement of Ray McLeod. Don't get me started on that. Darnell Mooney is taking targets down there. And then you've got
But it
Bijan
looks good
Robinson at
too,
running back.
man.
Mooney looks damn good. I know,
Yeah.
like, people sleep on Mooney, and he's always had the talent in Chicago and just could never really get on the same page. I know Fields struggled there. It's all related to the offensive
Also,
line, obviously.
Chicago. Look at Keenan Allen. It's
Yeah.
DJ Moore. He can't do it either. But he's a guy that I have on like every one of my benches just for the bye weeks. Because like I'll start Mooney for a bye week. It's fine. Get you
Right.
8 to 12.
Yeah, eight
Safe.
to 12. Hope that he, yeah, he's seen almost 10 targets a game, and then you hope that he snags a touchdown. Like, cool, rock and roll.
All right. Next one. Carson Steele, Samaje Perine, I guess.
Steals a fold.
Fold for me too. I think it's easy.
I think P. Ryan's the harder one still, and I might just be stubborn, but I think his role is still there. As we talk about who's going to catch the ball for KC now, Samaje Perine is one of those people. He has the ability to flex out to a slot role if he needs to. He will catch the ball out of the backfield. Him and Hunt can really run this offense together in tandem, and his role shouldn't be that changed from what it was with Pacheco. So Carson Steele fold, Samaje Perine hold. I think you see his role expand this week as a pass catching back.
Yeah, he got no targets last week, but he got the goal line touchdown.
Yeah.
So if you're on the field for the KC offense near the goal line, he's a hold too, because I think we kind of said you hold these guys and just see how the KC offense plays out. Now I think it's steal, cut, move on from. Now let's see what Piran and Hunt can do. CH is, I haven't heard he's back or not. I wouldn't expect to have him really thrown in there week five anyways.
No, I saw him still sitting on somebody's IR slot, so he's still either on PUP or IR as of now. So
With
I
no
wouldn't expect him
like
to come right
no
back to play.
news, so it's like
Yeah.
this should be big news. This is the day.
Right. Well, I
In a
mean,
sense,
you'll
too.
tell me. I know for a fact whenever CEH is activated, you will text me because the alert that you have set up on Google for CEH news will go off.
No, that's Twitter. That's not Google. I should do that though. Bill be right back.
One moment.
Next guy, Keenan Allen.
He's a hold for me. He's just a guy that I find to be very difficult to drop, and he's been a hold for me in the past, you know, for 6 straight weeks while he nursed a hamstring injury. So, you know, he's coming back off of an injury. The Bears team has not looked good. Eventually, they're going to have to adjust what they're doing with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and still, they'll find a way to make it work. I really believe that Keenan Allen is quarterback proof, and unfortunately, I don't know if he's offensive line proof, but we'll find out.
Their schedule is so easy going forward, though.
Yeah.
It's they have some, Carolina, Jacksonville, bye, Washington, Arizona, Patriots.
This week
Definitely
should
get
give you the best indication, anyways. I mean, playing Carolina, if you can't put up points against Carolina, you've got an issue.
He's a hold for me too. DeAndre Hopkins.
He's tough because they're heading into a bye week. and his production is lacking, but I'm not dropping D Hop if I don't absolutely have to. If I can field a valid lineup and keep him on my bench this week, I'm doing it. You saw his production start to trend in the right direction. I know this week against Miami was a bit of a shit show, but those weeks are going to happen. I think he will return to DeAndre Hopkins that we all know and love. So I'm going to hold him.
Yeah, I mean, week three, 6 for 73 in a touchdown. That's what I'm looking more at. The game last week was just, again, it's a shit show. Pretty much like run the clock, burn it out. Let's get this game done with. That was
Yeah,
a.
total slop fest. Miami never threatened them. They didn't have to do much.
They were up the entire time. By up, I mean like they're by six, which is huge against Miami.
Exactly.
That's two scores for Miami.
Yeah, exactly.
Cam Akers.
I think he has to be a hold only because he might be the only running back in Houston right now. His talent's not the reason I'm holding him. Dare Ogunbowale was arguably more effective than Cam Akers this past week. But I think he still has to be a hold until Joe Mixon is officially active or Dameon Pierce returns and looks good. Cam Akers has to be on rosters, unfortunately. The second one of them even logs a full practice, I'll cut Cam Akers.
Yeah, I mean, he got 13 carries last week, 53 yards. Not bad, but that's all he did. But guess one of those in the end zone, he's fine. Yeah, he's a hold for now. I want Mixon back so bad. So bad. All right, next one. The Dallas Cowboys running backs, Zeke, Rico Dowdle. Let's
Zeke,
start
I
with
cut
Zeke.
like
I think
done.
we cut.
I
Yeah,
think you
done.
can't hold him. Me and Derek just cut him in Tuan League, and Derek's a Cowboy fan, so he. I mean, he still looks good. He still looks kind of athletic and kind of spry. It looks like he makes some people miss here and there and can still break some tackles, but he's not being used enough to be rosterable, and it doesn't. I don't see a world where that changes. Flip side, Rico Dowdle. I would probably also cut. I think there's other guys out there. Like if you were looking at him this past week and you wanted to go pick up Trey Sermon, Justice Hill, Tank Bigsby, I'd cut him for all three of those guys. If they're not, if those guys, those that caliber of guy isn't out there, I can see you holding Dowdle and just praying that he's a flex play and scores a touchdown. But for me, I don't want to play that game. I'd rather just cut him and move on from all Dallas Cowboy running backs, including Malik Davis, Deuce Vaughn, anybody else that may be there. Dalvin Cook, I would never even have in my roster anyways, but
Yeah, Dowdle I would hold, but I do understand. Like he's the guy that's stopping you from picking up Trey Sermon or Justice Hill. You cut him. I mean, he scored last week, but without the score, he's not doing much. But like 7 points a week is not the worst thing.
yeah.
I mean, he's definitely the lead back there. I think it's now we have more of a clear picture. It's Dowdle. It's not going to be Zeke 1 week, Dowdle the other week. It's Dowdle. Still not great, but I'll hold him, especially with bye weeks coming in. Like, you need a guy like
That's
that to
true.
be 7 points in. To Delvin Cook, too, it's like if this running game's not going to do anything, like maybe week six we see Delvin Cook and then you cut him off. Then you can't even roster anyone.
And if you're in like what I consider to be a standard league format at this point of fantasy football, which is two running backs, three wide receivers, and then a tight end and two flexes, you probably need a guy like Dowdle giving you 7 to 9 points a week. Like that's a viable start at the flex position in
But
that deep of a
yeah,
format.
right. Like it's a guy I'm not like, yeah, I'm going to start him this week, but you got 5 or 6 bench spots, probably do worse than that.
Exactly.
Short leash though.
Definitely.
It's just sad they didn't draft Braylon Allen because that
It's just
would have been
like
a lot
you
for him.
think of these guys, and then I flip into other leagues I have with different formats that I would call irregular, and it's two running backs, two wide receivers, one flex. It's like, yeah, that guy's not even rosterable. He shouldn't even be on benches in such a short starting format. But yeah, if you run a what I call standard league at this point, he's decent.
Yeah. All right. That will do it for hold 'em. Last segment before we log off. Buy low, sell high. We each picked one player each. Dallas picked three players, but it's fine. We can also talk about that. My buy low is Josh Jacobs. This is a guy that in half point PPR, he has not gone over 15 fantasy points, which is something that we didn't expect. We thought with this Green Bay offense, that would be a lot of scoring, a lot of yards. Emmanuel Wilson is taking a big role there, bigger role than we thought. But they also have lost Jordan Love, and last week Jacobs didn't have a bad game. But again, they were playing from behind early, so they had to pass a lot, which shows with Jordan Love being a top two fantasy finisher. I do think with this offense finally back with Jordan Love, also no Christian Watson, maybe lean on the run a little more. Who do they play this week? They play really bad.
The
Oh, not that
Rams.
team, but the Rams decimated with injuries. I think they allow the most rushing yards to opposing RBs and fourth most touchdowns to RBs. So if there's a game to Josh Jacobs to finally get the 15 plus points, it's this game. I expect them to be up and the Rams playing catch up with those crap receivers. So, I mean, if they're up by 14 points the second half, I don't see how Josh Jacobs doesn't get, total of 20 touches in this game. And hopefully he can find his first touchdown. It's
Yeah,
week five. You gotta get one of them. It can't be
that's
Emmanuel.
like,
Mean, the Emmanuel Wilson thing too is like when he scored at like his touchdowns, it's kind of like Jacobs does the work. Just one of those like he was out for that play. If he was in that play, he's scoring a touchdown.
yeah, and his talent's still there. Like, he's a guy that
Oh,
it
like I
still
mean,
looks good.
he has a game with 151 rushing yards.
Right.
But he fumbled, so not 15
Exactly.
points. So I
Yep.
mean he's right there. And if this offense is or his team is like a playoff team that they think they are, they got to get this guy going because that's a guy in the playoffs that you do need.
Yeah, and eventually they will have a game script that's not like last week against Minnesota, where they're chasing from behind, for the entire second half. They will be up. Like, they will have game, and it's probably this week against LA, where they get up early and then they just plod away with Jacobs for the whole game. And that's what you need. My buy low is Joe Mixon, who we've talked about on this podcast already quite a bit, and we'll keep talking about him. He's hurt, still probably not going to play this week, it looks like at least. It's a perfect time to grab him. He's got a good schedule coming up. He will be healthy sooner rather than later. And if you can get him at a discount, I think it's the best possible idea that you can have to buy into this Houston Texan offense. Mixon, when he was healthy week one, looked absolutely phenomenal. The second he's back on the field, his value is going to shoot right back through the roof. So I would be all over Joe Mixon as a buy low. If you can get him, I don't know exactly. The owner might be looking at the same thing that you are and saying, like, oh no, he's going to be back soon and I need him. But before he gets back on the field, you can definitely get him at a slight discount.
I mean, it could be an owner that has him that has guys on bye weeks and him hurt, and they just can't lose.
Right. And even if you have to go
And
two for one, it's like, hey, let me fill two spots for you. I'll give you Trey Sermon, who I just picked up, and I beat you on waivers to him, and I'll give you a wide receiver that you can start this week in your flex spot. Here you go.
yep.
Like, I'd be thrilled to throw, well, I can do my sell high right now. I would throw Brian Thomas for Joe Mixon right now. And I know people are going to go, well, dude, he's wide receiver 15. He looks so good. It's like, this Jacksonville offense does not look good. They are disjointed, and I know BTJ has been effective, but I don't know how long that's going to last. And I would rather get a guy back who I think has more upside down the road, longer in the season, especially with Evan Ingram about to return to this Jacksonville offense and really throw everything out of whack for the receivers that are actually producing. If Ingram comes back and gets 10 targets a game, BTJ could be odd man out all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect it to be Kirk Ahmed out over BTJ. I think BTJ has earned that role of wide receiver one. But like you said, it's like it's the Jags offense. And I'm not sure if you've seen those like clips of how open he is so many times in the end zone. And Trevor Lawrence looks broken. Like, yeah, he got it to him last week, but the talent I think is definitely there. Great draft pick, but you that offense is just that team is just I don't know what happened to them.
No.
Because last year they looked good. 2 years ago they looked fantastic.
And they have so many of the same pieces. Nothing has really changed.
Right. And like you said, he's wide receiver 15. Maybe he finishes his wide receiver 24, 25, which is fine. But I don't know if that's consistent each week. It's more
Right.
like a 25-point week and then down to six. Where Mixon, you assume he has that safe, 12 to 16 floor that can easily hit 25 plus any given week, which we did see week one. So, yeah, I think Brian Thomas, you definitely got to sell high for. If you can't hold on to him, I wouldn't sell him for nothing because he's looked good, like a decent wide receiver three flex guy. But get Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, whoo, all day.
Oh, that'd be a great return. And you even mentioned another guy who would be a fantastic sell high, and Christian Kirk. Like, I just think you need to unload this
On
Jags
the back
offense.
of the last game where he was always
Yeah.
the cut for
Last
us. Yes.
2 games he's been 11.9 and 15.6 with 10 targets and 12 targets. Like, well, fantastic sell high. I don't see a world where he continues to do this all season long.
Yeah, and like you said, Evan Ingram gets back and it's just a complete, I mean, he
Oh yeah.
demands a lot of targets too, so.
Facts.
My sell high is Devontae Adams. And I'm not sure how high you can sell him, but with the rumors, I think the Jets are favored by like minus 125 to land him, and everyone's going to say, Rodgers Adams connection is going to be unreal. Again, like what Dallas said earlier, this team can send him anywhere they want, or to say screw you, just rot here. I don't care.
Right.
I like so. I think you can get out of Devontae Adams. Now do it because there's a world where he has no fantasy value, or if he's get traded, he's not going to be wide receiver one. If you can sell him as a middle wide receiver two value to get someone back, do it all day. Like I'd sell him for Jordan Mason now, knowing that CMC is going to be back soon. Like I'd rather just 3 weeks of Mason,
Yep.
and that's it than Devontae Adams. Like get this guy off my team.
Yep,
Someone,
100%.
and if it happens that it works out, let that guy win. I don't want to play my team with that. It's you got a zero last week on the bench. You're getting a zero this week. He might not get traded to week eight trade deadline. So it's like you can't wait that long. If you go to the top team in the league and say, hey, you can afford to hold Devontae Adams until he gets traded, let them think that. Go get a guy on their bench because they're a top team. So a guy on their bench is probably very good. Go get that guy instead.
Yeah, anybody that you can play beats the 0 points that he's going to give you, because I don't think he's going to take another snap for the Raiders.
Yeah, I traded for Zach Moss, to be honest. Like I'd rather
Oh yeah.
that 8 to 10 point week in my flex than
Yeah.
waiting for Devontae Adams.
Trade him for friggin'
I'd be
Chase
sick of
Brown.
him.
After
What?
last
Yeah.
week, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that I just you can't you just you can't do it, especially if you and this is when we always start talking about this every year. If you're an 0-4 team, a 1-3 team, you can't roster a guy like this. You need to win now, whatever that means. Whatever that means to put points on your in your lineup. If you're a 1-3 team with Jahmyr Gibbs and he's out on bye this week, you have to go get a running back that can produce. And if you have to sell Devontae Adams to do it, you
You
have
do
to.
it.
Yeah. Honestly, it should be a no-brainer. If you can sell the guy based on where you think he might be going, which just sell the Jets story, you're sitting pretty. Oh, I hope the New York media rips Devonta Adams apart when he gets there, if he goes there.
We'd be
He's
an
had it
absolute
real, real
disaster.
easy in Vegas that doesn't care about football, and Green Bay where they loved him. Like, let's send him to the Jets where they're going to struggle and just absolutely give this guy a taste of the New
Where
York
they
media.
d destroy players.
Exactly. There's a reason people don't want to go there, and it's the media. The
Yeah.
same thing with New England. The media does not help around these parts.
No.
Bunch of dicks. Felger and Maz. You know what, Mike? I think he's done.
He just got here. It's fine. He's all right. You want to take your next sell high or your last one?
Yeah, sure. I'll throw this one out there too. Kind of thought of this as we were going along, and Travis Kelce is definitely a sell high for me. So, couple bum weeks to start the season. Big one last week. Everybody and their brother going, dude, Rashee Rice is out. Big increase for Travis Kelce's targets. True, probably in the sense that he is going to have more plays drawn up for him. Unfortunately for him and the Chiefs, the rest of the NFL is aware of this too, and all they have to do is continue to guard him the way they've been covering him for the first 2, 3 weeks of the season. And he's going to draw a lot more attention now that you don't have to account for a supreme talent like Rashee Rice on the outside. If I can sell him for large value off what he just did last week, in the sense that Travis Kelce's back, he's still got it, big role incoming for him for the rest of the season with Rashee Rice down, I don't think there's a problem. If I could flip him for Joe Mixon, boom, done. Assuming that you have a tight end to backfill that role, or if you can go out and grab Pat Freiermuth off the scrap heap of tight ends on
Yeah,
waivers, I do
or
that.
Ingram and Njoku are out there too. Like they'll be
Yep,
back.
100%. Yeah, if I could grab that, maybe somebody in your league just cut Dallas Goedert because he's on a bye and they needed a fill-in for that week. A lot of options, really. If you can even replace 80% of Travis Kelce's value and then get a weekly starter at a running back or wide receiver position, you got to do it.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
As I'm trying to trade for him, and I'm like, oh, should I actually do it? I don't
Sorry to talk you out of it, but
know.
he's a good sell high.
Well, it's probably good because I was going to go too much.
Yeah, also, if you're in a dynasty, he's 34 years old. So, just a reminder.
Yeah, he's not worth the first anymore. Stop.
Yeah,
I'm not
he's
giving a
30.
first for Travis Kelce.
He's 34 years old, was not that involved in the first two games, and just generally appears to be much less interested in football than he's ever been. And he's doing every single endorsement deal he can possibly get his hands on, which we've never seen him do before. All of these are indicative of signs of a
Make
guy
it.
that is cashing out.
What does he make for his podcast again? Didn't they just get a
100
huge
million
deal?
deal with
Yeah,
Spotify,
100
him and his
million
brother.
deal.
I don't, yeah, so I'm
That's
assuming they
stupid.
probably split it 50-50, so 50 mil.
Which I listen to it. I just change
Man,
it. It's just not good.
I don't like that every single player has a podcast nowadays. I don't begrudge them,
The
leveraging it into more money.
Brown brothers, Amon-Ra, Equanimeous, they have one too. Like,
Yeah, that's just stupid. Nobody wants to hear what two of
and
your brothers who I've never
Amon-Ra
heard of.
is so dry.
Yeah.
This
Oh,
guy is
he's
gonna
a robot.
put me to sleep. Like, and we can't make it big. Come on, look at me.
Right.
Hear me. Listen
I'm interesting. I got hot
to
takes to
me.
fire off. That you
Hot
know who I do
takes.
like? I like Micah Parsons' podcast where he has CJ Stroud on all the time and they essentially just shit talk each other nonstop. I
Yeah.
like that. That's a good format. Paul Pierce gets together with Kevin Garnett and they want to have a podcast about stuff. Cool. I'll listen to that a million times. Every single player in the NFL, like friggin' Harrison Butker having like the Mormon podcast. I'm like, dude, you don't need a podcast for this. Like, go talk to your 12 like friends.
Also, top 10 in jerseys this year.
Harrison Butker.
Buckers, I think so. Which
It's
is
crazy how
what's so wrong with the world.
it's just like they're, when the religious people hear like, oh my God, this guy's super religious. They're like, let's go buy all of his merch immediately.
Yeah,
Like,
and make
you
him
are the
more rich.
easily most easily fooled people and on the planet. Like, oh, drives me insane. I remember one of my buddies one time told me, he was like, Marines are the most easily fooled group of people on the entire planet. If you slap a USMC logo on anything, we'll buy it for $15.99. I was like, it's so true. He's like, go look at my truck. I got six stickers on there. Think I need six stickers to help people Marine? I was like,
It
good point. It's a really, really good point. But
is true.
it's nuts. I'm shocked that there's a kicker in the top 10 of the
And he
food.
just got
So,
paid too. Just got paid a lot.
well, at least he's worth it, unlike Justin Tucker for you leagues that still have kickers. Talk about a freaking has-been. This guy's just got the yips like you read about.
He's consistent. Yeah, but like
Consistently missing.
yeah,
Boom.
nailed it. All right, with that a massive joke hit, Dallas, take us out.
Well, Shelfies, I know you come here for the jokes, but hopefully you took something away from the fantasy perspective as well. hit us up. Facebook, Instagram, Top Shelf Fantasy, FNTSY. We always want your start sit questions as we head towards the week. And what else we have for you? Oh, start sits will be coming out regularly as we head towards the rest of the season. Like we said, 85%. We're better than everybody. Please hit us up. Stay fluid. Stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid. Stay loose.